You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kane.
Congratulations! Congratulations! The 2022-23 NBA playoff bracket champion is me! Me! Oh, I'm the real MVP. Kane.
Yeah.
Okay, down. Well, Kane blame me for trying to hype myself up a little bit for the NBA Finals, Kane. I mean, God, what was that we just witnessed?
Yeah, a pretty bad finals, all things considered. It was a good playoffs, but bad finals.
We're going to have to wait maybe a week or two for the ratings to come out, but I sent you earlier that apparently Game 4 was like the second lowest rated playoff game in 20 years.
Really?
Jesus. And you contrast this to, of course, second round game, Lakers and Warriors. That series is breaking all-time records. It's what the people wanted. It's what I wanted. I contacted Adam Silver for this. He did not reply. And instead, this is what we got.
I was going to say, like, maybe contrast that to the first finals between the Warriors and Cavs in 2015. Was that like a super highly touted
affair sure.
when the Warriors first got to the
for
finals?
Sure.
It was LeBron, I guess, but like, yeah, okay, right. Because like Steph was MVP that year, I think.
I mean, it has to do with the markets, right? San Francisco, Oakland at the time. I mean, these are massive markets. They got true fans, lots of fans versus, you know, Denver and, we don't have to talk about the Miami fans. Saying that, I do want to pay respect to both teams, especially Miami. I know this is not the final that anyone wanted. But I have to say that Miami's run was kind of the Cinderella story of the playoffs. And I am happy, of course, that Jokic won. These are both very deserving to have the spotlight, to have this opportunity.
And I think the best team at the end of the day won it. Considering that the Heat beat the Celtics quite like easily as well. Like I know it went to Game 7, but they were up 3-0. And then Game 7, they smashed them. If the Celtics had this much trouble trying to figure out the Heat, I just don't think the Nuggets will have any problem getting past the Celtics. So for all those people saying like, oh, you know, it should have been the two best teams in the end, should have been Boston and Denver. Like, sure, like, why not? Like, yeah, Boston probably would have been a better matchup against Denver. But I think end of the day, end result, we got the deserving champions, the Denver Nuggets. Healthy all playoff season long. It didn't matter like who was struggling. Michael Porter Jr. was struggling at times. Jamal Murray was struggling during the regular season. Aaron Gordon turned into some defensive beast. Bruce Brown just found the second gear. I think we just discovered the best new player, the next Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, and Christian Brown or Braun or I don't know. They always pronounce him Brown.
AKA White Christ. White Christ.
White Christ. Christian.
Christian White Christ Brown. He's back. He's back, baby. He was away for 3 days. Now he's back. I don't know.
Who's your new favorite player? Do you like Brown, Christian Brown, or do you like Lou Dort better?
Oh, Dort's big time. I love Dort.
Okay. I just getting a measure of like what you think of role players.
These are not necessarily the players that you would expect to step up, and when they do step up in a big way, this is why it's so exciting for the fans, right?
Nah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is not about Brad. I mean, Jokic obviously is the engine that drives the Nuggets. He like we were saying like as soon as the game ended, like obviously Jokic just won Finals MVP. That makes three MVPs in a row in a season, two regular season ones, and maybe to everyone's point now, should have won a third regular season MVP this season, which will be interesting because the revisionist will definitely say Jokic is deserve to win it. But then I still maintain like last season, Embiid should have won it last season, considering Jokic got bounced in the first round and was only a sixth seed.
Oh yes, and of course Embiid did so well last playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And now this season, Embiid...
I'm being sarcastic. I'm being sarcastic there.
Yeah, I know. But I think that's kind of true, actually, because
Embiid... He, like, fucking got hit in the head and couldn't find, like, where the direction of the basket.
He got knocked out by the Raptors.
Yeah, they broke his face. They like, isn't it Ananobi? I want to say it's like Ananobi. He like hit him on the face, on the head, Embiid. He like fractured eye socket or something.
Rings a bell, but rings a bell. But I can't remember. I mean, that's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but what we have seen with Embiid is like this guy can't stay healthy in the playoffs. Every playoff run is one thing or the other, right?
Yeah, and it's a testament to Jokic that he stays healthy through all these runs, and it's the other supporting players like Jamal, like Michael Porter Jr. Aaron Gordon wasn't on the team 2 seasons ago when they were in the Western Conference Finals. But this team, through all it all, Jokic was the constant superstar that kept them going, and even, won an MVP as a sixth seed because he was just carrying this team night in, night out, and just couldn't do it anymore, this last postseason. And this postseason, they're all together, they're all healthy. They bring in players like Bruce Brown. Jeff Green is playing really well. Christian Brown is, a really sensational rookie, playing really well. They all came together. And they're healthy. I think that's the most important thing. They're healthy the entire time. You can't say the same thing with Miami. Even getting through the Eastern Conference playoffs, they were just banged up, and they still got to the finals, which is a great testament to just the character and the culture with that team. But obviously Jokic was by far the best player. Like, even if they were missing a couple players here and there, and the Nuggets were just so strong because Jokic was powering them through everything, and he's basically unstoppable. There's definitely no one in the Heat that can guard. And Bam did an amazing job. Like, he was playing really poorly up to the finals. But in the finals, we were questioning, maybe they have to play Zella or Kevin Love more at the five to just put an extra body on Jokic. But Bam did a really good job, I think. And probably the best player, Jimmy Butler, to me, was pretty underwhelming. But that kind of symbolizes this finals. It's like, usually finals is a matchup of two superstars, the two best players in the NBA versus going up against each other. But really, it was Jokic against the Heat culture. And Jimmy Butler wasn't able to really stand on his own and be the star that we saw against the Bucks and against the Knicks and halfway through the Celtics. His stats look all right. I think he's still 20 points per game, but he wasn't as great as I don't know. I can't remember hitting a buzzer beating a game-winning, a tie-scoring, overtime forcing layup against two people kind of thing, when he was in against the Bucks.
I didn't even watch that series. I was too busy reading up on Dylan Brooks's illegitimate children.
Dylan Brooks?
Yeah, he had some girlfriend problems.
Really? Okay. That's, you do love the off-court.
I do love the off-court. Okay. It'll be interesting to see in a week or two whether or not medical reports come out as to how injured Butler was, because clearly his best series was the Bucks series, and since then he's kind of just he's been effective, he's been super important, but he hasn't been able to take over games anymore, and I suspect it was because of the injury.
I mean, there was they won one, obviously, and then there was two close games against the Nuggets, and if Butler was able to just go to his superstar mode that he was against, like you say, against the Bucks, 40 points, 50 points, they would win. There's no problem. At that stage, at that level, can you imagine just turning on it like LeBron or Steph has done in the past, or Kevin Durant has done in the past? Kevin Durant is a prime example. The Cavs are breathing down their necks in game two or something in the finals, 2017. And then Kevin Durant just switches it on and is like, what can you do? How can you stop Kevin Durant? And that's exactly what Jimmy Butler was in the first round against the Bucks, against the first seed. It was like, Butler's scoring 40 points, 50 points, kicking our ass. We got all these great defensive players trying to guard him, and no one can guard him. If Jimmy Butler was able to channel even 75% of that form, then they would still be, we wouldn't be recording, because they'll still be playing, and and like it'll probably be even, or even Miami might be up or something like that. But because Butler just couldn't find his form, couldn't find it going after, basically, like you said, after the Knicks, or, you know, during the Celtics series when they were up 3-0. It just, yeah, I feel like he didn't play at a star level that they need him to.
Yeah, in this final game, game five, I think he started off like 2-for-14 or something really bad.
He was...
But within the final 3 minutes, he started jacking up like threes and like getting to the foul line and started taking over. But I think it goes, he kind of ran out of, like he missed some key shots as well. But I think it just goes to show that he wasn't 100%, which is, you know, I don't take anything away from Butler or the Heat, because this has been, I keep saying it, it's been a phenomenal run. And, you know, to be honest, the Celtic, Heat run is what's kept me engaged in the playoffs after LeBron got knocked out. What are you laughing at? Speaking of LeBron, I do want to mention, after every championship, I try to imagine if we asked the players what it was like, they would have told you, wow, you know, that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Yeah.
This playoff run was so long. It was so difficult, round after round after round. Even after winning in five, like this Miami Heat team, like this was tough. Mentally, physically, everything. I can't believe it. And it's at that point that I just want to like clap and congratulate LeBron James once again. It's like, imagine you just went through that and now do it again. And again. And again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, nine straight times.
I thought he went to the finals like three times or something.
LeBron James?
Yeah. Is
it? Nine straight NBA finals appearances.
No, I'm kidding.
You tell Jason Tatum that. You fucking like blow his brains.
No, okay, calm down.
I just want to congratulate LeBron James after each NBA finals.
Okay.
You don't think that's incredible?
I don't know. I think it's incredible, but I don't think it's now is the time. Like, at this present moment, like 2 hours after the Denver Nuggets have just been crowned the NBA champions, we have to also, as a side note, congratulate LeBron James as well. Like, LeBron James has had his time in the sun, but for the Lakers to compete, they need another piece, and I think we can get to that later in another episode. Because the Lakers are close. Like, LeBron's still good. AD played at a really high level. But they weren't better than Denver Nuggets this season by any stretch. There's no way. Like, I was predicting the Lakers would be better, would be close to competing in the Western Conference Finals against the Nuggets this year because AD was playing at a near prime level. And we had Reeves stepping out, playing really well. And, like, LeBron, obviously. But Jokic has been the best, like with the Heat, you got Jimmy Butler, then you got Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson stepped up, and then Jimmy Butler just fell off the map. With Jokic, it's been Jokic. Like, Jamal Murray obviously has had some great performances, you got Bruce Brown performances, you got Christian Braun performances, you know, Michael Porter Jr. has played well, Aaron Gordon's played a key role defending the best offensive play. He guarded KD, then he guarded LeBron, and then he had his time. I mean, they all guarded, like KCP guarded Jimmy Butler for the most part, I would have to say. But so Aaron Gordon didn't have as hard of a time guarding, say Caleb Martin, because he already went through KD and LeBron back-to-back series, and he deserved, quote-unquote, the rest. But yeah, like it's just amazing. Jokic, like, you can look at his stats tell the story. He does everything for this team, and he's like not a bad defender as well, considering his size and like his like girth, just standing there, it's hard to get around him because he's not fast, but he's got good footwork to kind of move a little bit to get in your way, I think, which is enough. He doesn't block it in many shots either, but it's like it's good enough.
At the other side of the bracket, how about Miami Heat? Where do they go from here? Like you said, they've had a great
Bradley run. Beal, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul. Honestly, Dame has talked about Dame has spoken about his love for Miami. I don't know what the trade terms are. I don't think there's anyone like those undrafted players that we spoke about before: Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, something Vincent. Who am I missing? Struis.
They're trading Tyler Hero. Let's not beat around the bush.
I mean, Tyler Hero didn't play more than 13 minutes this playoffs, and yet the Heat still got to the finals. So, I mean, they're not trading Bam, obviously. They can't trade Kevin Love, obviously. They'll try to re-sign Kevin Love, I assume. Jimmy Butler is the center. If they keep Duncan Robinson because his contract's too big, if they re-sign Caleb Martin's still on a contract, so they go Caleb Martin, do they... do you know what I mean? Like, is there not value to do a sign trade with Gabe Vincent or Max Strus?
Of course.
Is there? I don't know. Like, I'm wondering. Like, those guys have elevated their play, but yes. Is there enough value where they can do a sign trade for those guys to get something back for them?
They're going to trade Tyler Hero. He's their second... Before this playoff run, he was their second best player.
Well, they need to trade more than Tyler Hero, right? They need to trade Tyler Hero and, like, a bunch of other players to get Dame. Just to even make the salaries match.
It's going to be Tyler Hero and a mixture of Max Strus, Gabe Vincent. Wait, did you say Vincent? Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, sure.
Because both Max Gabe Strus. Vincent and Max Strus, I mean, they're 10-plus mil a year players now. Easy.
Okay. So let's just assume... Oh, how about Lowry? What's happening with Lowry? He's still on a contract for another, like, 5 seasons, right? For, like, 20 mil per season or something.
Lowry is problematic. I think he's best in Miami just because his contract means that no one else will want him.
Yeah. And also they would miss his ass as well. Like, that ass is...
I'm going to let that slide for now. I'm going to let that slide.
It's gone through some lean times, I'll say.
Kyle Lowry was, like, fucking awesome today. He didn't really score any points, but he was, like... He was defending Jokic.
yeah. With, like, his back turned to him.
Yeah.
Both the backs were turned to each other. Lowry is turning 37 next season, and he will make $29 million.
Yeah.
So, makes it 22% of the cap as well. 22%, that's, like, basically a quarter. So, if you're making a five-man team... where everyone makes, you know, a fifth of the, or, you know, a third of the salary cap, plus into the luxury tax. Lowry makes 22% of that, so that's not good. Dame, don't even start on Dame's contract. His Supermax hasn't even kicked in. He's going to make like $60 million by the time he's 37. So, like, Miami has been playing this, I don't know what you want to call it, but they've been looking for a superstar point guard for a long time. Miami has been trying to trade and get a superstar point guard for a long time. That's why they signed Kyle Lowry. Or they didn't sign him, but that's why they traded for his big-ass contract.
Can you calm down? You and my Raptors. You and these Raptor players. Jesus Christ.
That's why they traded for him, because they're like, okay, Kyle Lowry's the missing piece. And to be fair, they made the finals in the conference finals last season, so... Pretty good return, all things considered. But Dame would be big time. If they could trade for Dame somehow, I know they'll still have Kyle Lowry, they'll have Dame on books, Jimmy Butler, whatever he makes, Bam, Caleb Martin, Kevin Love. Like, I don't know if they're better than, like, the Nuggets, but I think they will be the class of the East, like, next season, if they stay healthy. If Dame stays healthy, like, ooh, they'll be scary in the East. Dame with Butler?
Oof. Yeah. Heat culture. That's perfect match. And Spo. Spo's, like, another star player, basically, on that team.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know we've disrespected Duncan Robinson a lot this past season, and I thought he was, like, one of the worst contract ever, but now he just proved everything wrong. Like, he was playing big, important minutes, winning games.
He's got the worst contract. He's got the worst contract in the league now.
I don't know. I think mostly they're in Washington. and maybe the guy in Brooklyn sitting...
What? Who? Oh, yeah, that's true. That is...
watching the WNBA games.
What, Mikal Bridges?
I'm talking about... You know what I'm talking about. Ben Simmons. Do you think Ben Simmons could be MVP of the WNBA? Real question. Legit. I'm asking.
Like, as an injured person, or...
No, like, as, like, wait, a healthy person. What do you mean, injured? As a healthy person.
Kyle Lowry would be, like, a six-time MVP if he joined the WNBA in, like, three years' time. Ben Simmons, I mean, I don't watch WNBA, so I can't really comment, but Ben Simmons, I assume, would be the tallest person, probably next to Brittany Griner.
Yeah, and what does that get you, though? Ben, I mean, he doesn't shoot.
He doesn't need to shoot. He's gonna be stronger than anyone in the league.
Have you seen him drive? I haven't seen him.
You said healthy.
Actually,
I'm not going to dignify you with this, like, some kind of conversation.
You know, he shoots like, he shot like 25 like free throws the entire season.
I think in terms of active contracts, I think like active players with expensive contracts, I think it's got to be Jordan Poole. He's got I've heard a report where the Warriors are going to try to... They're entertaining trades for every player on the roster, not named Steph Curry. So the Warriors will be in some type of transition. The Lakers obviously are going to try to sign a big-time player alongside AD and LeBron.
CP3.
I mean, CP3 would be a dream signing because he would come cheap to the Lakers.
Book it.
But my sources have been telling me there might be a Clippers reunion on the cards.
Why would he go back to the Clippers? He doesn't like the Clippers.
Well, that's his hometown. He's from, you know, that's where his family is from, LA. He wants to go back to LA.
Yeah, the Lakers are in the LA.
They play with his home. Well, he likes the Staples Center, right? So he'll, not Staples Center, Crypto Center.
Are the Clippers still calling it the Staples Center? to pretend that they have an arena.
All I'm saying is that his family's in LA. He likes the city, and that's his hometown. That's his like homegrown team. That's like where he spent the majority of his career in the Clippers uniform.
So to me, that says Lakers, not the Clippers.
And his best friends Kawhi Leonard and Paul
George.
He's
not best friends with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
And Ty Lue, he loves Ty Lue.
No one in the NBA has seen Kawhi for more than like 48 minutes entire season. He like just showed up for a couple games, like two games in the postseason, and then he was gone. Is there an NBA team in San Diego? Because that's where Kawhi is. He's not going back to the Clippers for sure. That's for sure. That's certain.
He will be a good get. He'll be a good get for either team though, because both teams obviously need a point guard. I mean, that's why Clippers signed Russell Westbrook. They needed a point guard. Lakers, for obvious reasons, need a point guard if they're not re-signing D'Lo.
Especially if they can get CP3, then like obviously that's like way better than D'Lo, right? For the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. So, yeah, if they go with the idea that they're not going to re-sign D'Lo, then they should try to get CP3 and he'll come on the minimum deal. But like I said, my sources have been telling me that he's going to the Clippers, so I think it's a moot point.
Okay.
Or Boston. It's Boston or,
oh God,
or Boston. Clippers.
We won't talk about Boston today. I really don't know who's going to Boston. I mean, at this point, people are trying to get away from Boston, not go there.
Yeah, true.
Like, people are literally running away from Boston. Okay, Kane. We've come to the end. Can you tell your kid to shut the fuck up?
Oh, so fucking annoying. It's not my fucking kid. It's like, after school time, the neighbors, the neighbor's grandchildren, they come over to the grandparents' house, and they fucking, like, run around like they're being murdered. Like, just screaming nonstop. Like... I don't know what's possessed these kids, but they play like they're fucking trying to murder each other.
Now I'm interested. So is this helping you in your decision making about whether or not you have a kid?
Well, like, that wasn't factored into it, but Like, we've probably already decided that we're not going to have kids.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell our listeners about this? This is a pretty big decision. Of course, like, I want to preface this by saying that I have also chosen not to have any children.
Well, you didn't choose your, like, incel, I think, but...
Right. Life and society has dictated such that I will not be having...
for me.
Life has chosen for me that I shall not be spreading my DNA.
And I tried. Let the record show I did try.
But, perhaps not my first choice.
Definitely was not my best choice. No, I mean, it's not ironclad, obviously. Like, we can obviously change our minds we still have that option. But I mean, we haven't done any steps to have children in the future. Like, we haven't frozen eggs. I haven't done any, like, paternity tests to see, like, you know what I mean? I haven't done anything for or against, but just because, you know, we're actively not trying to get pregnant, then that probably is leaning towards the path of never having children. And then, yeah, children obviously comes with its own assortment of concerns and problems and issues, not just like just between, like, you know, me and Joanne as parents having to raise a kid, but also societal, really. Don't know what the future of Earth is going to be like.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Global warming and the rise of China as some kind of evil superpower, kind of thing like that. Dictating Earth, like, diplomacies by economics, like strangling countries economically. It's a type of defeat doc.
I asked you why you're not having children. You bring up, like, China's.
Yeah, these are part of the. You asked me for my thought process. So you're gonna let me talk or not?
Okay,
you
know? Sorry. I apologize. Go ahead. Sorry.
So yeah, China is trying to control countries and destroy democracies to try to make them align to the way. We're already seeing it with Taiwan, obviously, in Hong Kong. But those are just the first two countries off the cab. And to bring children in this world where China is only gaining steam and other countries are falling, to kowtowing as it was. To the force.
I hope, by the way, when you're having this children discussion,
it's problematic.
I hope you're not bringing up China to Joanne as to reasons why you're not having kids.
Don't worry, it's pretty much shared across Australia.
Okay.
The CCP problem, global warming, those are the top two, obviously.
I love how you put China and global warming.
They're not in order, but okay. I'm just saying those are like the two.
Right.
Those are the two kind of. Oh, there's more than that, obviously, but those are some of the big global catastrophes that will happen in our lifetime. So, congrats to the Denver Nuggets.
Okay. We've covered.
You fucking asked. Yeah. You should probably cut it out.
We've had a lovely podcast and talked about many things, not so much about basketball. To be honest, I think this is actually now the more interesting time. As we know, the finals...
Free agency,
it's what I'm all about. I love the storylines. I love the gossip. I love it all. I love the rumors. And I think this is going to be an important free agency summer. Mm.
For a lot of teams as well.
And not so much because there's that super max player available, although there is at least one of them.
Technically, yeah.
But I think it's about, like, the peripheral pieces and veterans that could move to shift the power to take good teams over the hump.
Totally agree. But we'll see. We got the draft next week, and then I think free agency starts at the end of the month, as in, like, the 30th or 31st, or whatever this month is, like, you know, end of this month, basically. Just congratulations, Clip Nation, welcoming back legend Chris Paul, CP3.
I don't know where you're reading this from.
Back to the Clippers. You heard it here first, folks. Chris Paul going back to the Clippers.
in all seriousness, I'm not going to necessarily count the Clippers out. I mean, they have a great owner. They have their by far the richest owner. So perhaps there's some sort of sweetheart deal that could happen.
Well, they have a good team. They have a great team if they stay healthy.
Which we have never seen.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, true.
And of course, when you haven't been healthy in the last 4 years, it just means that you're going to be 100% healthy next year.
Yeah. Well, you gotta. Well, this is the point of this time. This is why we love this period of the NBA season, because it's all about optimism. It's all about imagining this team all together on paper, just judging by the paper that the team that they put together on paper. And projecting, in June of 2024, this team is going to get to the NBA Finals because, etc. So I think that's why it's so exciting, because it's time for projections and imagination and not cold, hard, objective truths, which, you know, one is one to do. Mm. Not us, obviously. We're very stupid and not cerebral.
Okay. You speak to yourself. I said cerebral. I use that word. And after this podcast, I'm going to read up what it means. Until next time, dear listeners.
Use it correctly.
Stay cerebral.
Safe flight back to Serbia, Jokic.
Yeah. He's already gone.
He's already on the plane. He's already on the plane.
He's like, my job is done. I'm going home.
He wasn't like in the locker room, like when they're celebrating. He's already got his plane with his brothers.
Oh, okay. Until next time. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.